Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, he's back from Iraq and he's written a book. Caleb Cage is here. The book is The Gods of Diyala. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Trey Abney, Fred Locken, and Mike Hillaby. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers, brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and reviewjournal.com.
Where's the best place to find out what's really happening? Find it every Thursday in the Reno News and Review. In-depth reporting, balanced news coverage, insightful entertainment reviews. Award-winning journalism you won't find anywhere else. Best editorial writing, best entertainment writing, best business news story, best investigative story, best local columnist. The Reno News and Review, when you want to know what's really happening.
If you're looking for real craftsmanship in metal fabrication, Deluxe Welding will creatively support your design. They take welding to an art form. Custom fabrication, beams and columns, railings, truss brackets, steel and precast concrete stairs. They can come to your location or provide you with the material for your project. Steel, stainless steel, and aluminum. See Don and Matt's work at DeluxeWelding.com. If it's made of metal, they'll make it magnificent.
Success has come to TRI through public-private partnerships. I'm here at the new USA Parkway interchange with master developer Don Roger Norman and commission chairman Bum Hess from Story County. Let's listen in.
Roger, it's impressive how you were able to do this bridge in half the time at half the cost. How were you able to do that?
It was a great team of people, NDOT, Story County, the cooperation with everybody, the contractors. This all went extremely fast and under budget.
This interview segment is sponsored by Jones Vargas. We know Nevada. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. Welcome to the program, Caleb Cage. He is the author, along with Greg Tomlin, of The Gods of Diyala. It's subtitled Transfer of Command in Iraq. And just to read a little to you from the jacket notes, a soldier's eye view of the tumultuous second phase of Operation Iraqi Freedom. When Caleb and Greg deployed to Bakuba, Iraq in March 2004, they embarked on a mission that would redefine how conventional U.S. military forces fight an urban war. Responsible for leading artillery units through a transition into anti-insurgent rifle companies and carrying out daily combat patrols in one of the region's most notorious hotspots. Let's start with a little background on you. You went to West Point right out of high school, correct?
That's correct, right.
What was your desire to be in the military?
Well, I wanted to go, not a long military history in my family, but West Point appealed to me because of the leadership aspect that it offered. I think it was offered great leadership training there. And there was the service element as well. Come from a long line of servants to the state, so wanted to continue in that as well.
How did you end up? Iraq wasn't your first posting.
No, went to Oklahoma right out of West Point for 6 months for training, and then on to Bamberg, Germany with the 1st Infantry Division for about a year.
And then the call to Iraq.
Then the call forward, right.
Okay, were you concerned with the conditions on the ground at the time?
In Iraq?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we were artillerymen, which means we were shooting, we were prepared in a conventional warfare to shoot cannon from behind infantry as they maneuvered. But we were transitioned into a security force, a motorized rifle or an infantry sort of force. And so we didn't really know what we were doing. We were transitioning to this new job, and we were all of a sudden platoon leaders charged with the security situation in a pretty hot spot there. So that's kind of the first half is we're trying to figure out what we're doing.
And what was it like being there? I mean, you know, it's so difficult for people in the United States. We have such a cleansed version of the war, even though we've seen horrible pictures, but we really don't have a true understanding of what it's like there. What was it like? Can you put us there?
Well, I think the first thing, I guess, to recognize is that the huge amount of support that's coming from citizens of the United States, and actually people from all over the world, hugely supportive of whether or not they're for or against the war, hugely supportive of the efforts that take place on a daily basis. That's encouraging on a daily basis. The actual day in and day out there consisted of long periods of boredom, of mundane patrols of driving around the city just to show a presence. And then every once in a while, when a major event was happening on the national scale, the Iraqi national scale, then we would see an uptick in violence. And I guess mundane is a little bit of a relative term. I mean, we would drive around and there would be improvised explosive devices or IEDs everywhere, three or four a day in the city. And, you know, every now and then you'd get random shots. But for the most part, it was just sort of driving around looking for something. And then it would boil over and you'd have 3 days a week, 2 weeks of pretty serious rotations where you were really getting into the weeds a little bit and trying to route these people out.
Did you ever feel safe?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you change it in your mind. Your mind has to change from this idea of where you would be in a safe area, whether it's Germany, the United States, or wherever, to this idea that, you know, as a platoon leader, I had 25 soldiers who were under me, and, you know, you change your mind to say, I can go. I don't have to make it through this, but I need to make sure these guys make it through this. So once you have accepted that and acknowledged that, you pretty much come to terms with whatever comes your way. So safety is pretty easy to get to, I guess, once you get to that point.
You have some thoughts on embedded journalists.
Yeah, we write quite a bit in the latter half there. In June was the transfer of sovereignty or transfer of authority from Paul Bremer, Ambassador Bremer's interim Iraqi government or interim government to the Iraqi national government. And they started coming around then because we started to have that boiling over. It was the direct correlation there. And we started interacting with them, and it was first photojournalists, and we didn't quite know what to do, and we were dealing with this idea of, we've got these photojournalists with us. They're going to capture snapshots of probably our most intense moments, and we're not sure if they're for us or against us. But you know, let's go. We have to figure this out. Eventually, we had very long and continuous conversations with some of these people, and some pretty profoundly interesting conversations about the role of journalists on the battlefield and so on. So had some good experiences, bad experiences, mostly good.
You know, what do you think? You know, in the Vietnam War, journalists were basically on their own. They were able to cover the war, but they weren't embedded with the units. Do you think that makes a difference in how they cover the story?
I think it depends on what part of the war you're talking about. I think part of Secretary Rumsfeld's plan with the embed was that buy-in, was we're all part of the same team here, let's go and cover this appropriately. And that worked very much in the invasion. It very much worked when the coalition forces were doing, it looked like this was a repeat of 92 in the 100-hour war again. And I think when the looting started back in summer of 03, maybe late fall of 03, that's when it started to turn. And we actually discussed that. The media was, I think, finding objectivity. And I don't want to be too critical, but I think that there was less of a heroic face put on it and more of a, we've got a story to tell. And so whether or not it was positive or negative or what the Secretary Rumsfeld desired, I think it actually turned out to be better for the story.
In the long run. Okay, the book is The Gods of Diala. Caleb Cage is the author, along with Greg Tomlin. We'll have more on Nevada Newsmakers when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Be here, not at divorce court. I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York. We protect men. You deserve a fair financial settlement and time with your children. We only seek men as clients and negotiate before going to court. Divorce is tough. I've been there, and I share my daughter with my ex-husband. Sarah, Raina, and I can help you.
If you need an attorney that gives a damn, call 324-7979 or visit MarilynYork.net for all your family law needs.
Inside local entertainment, Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
Thanks for your help, Don. Sure, Mike. How's your construction business going?
It's really growing. How's your business going?
Well, ever since I opened the restaurant, I've been having trouble with my workers' comp program. Who handles your workers' comp?
Well, I use Pro Group Management. They really work with me.
Are they expensive?
Well, I've never had an increase in rates.
Whoa.
I'll get you the number. And thanks again, Don. I couldn't have done this without you.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
For more than a decade, the Southern Nevada Water Authority has been helping the community embrace conservation as a way of life. That includes replacing more than 50 million square feet of grass with water-smart landscaping. During the worst drought on record, watering restrictions and tough landscaping codes have reduced the community's water use by billions of gallons, even as thousands of new residents were moving into Nevada. That's smart water management, and that's our promise to Nevada.
This interview segment is sponsored by Jones Vargas. We know Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers. The book is called The Gods of Diyala, Transfer of Command in Iraq. Caleb Cage, along with Greg Tomlin, are the authors. Caleb is with us. Tell us about what prompted you to write the book.
We, in the beginning there, we talk about some of our experiences in training up, and we were in Hohenfels, Germany, which is in the southern Bavaria part of Germany, freezing cold, and November and December in Nevada, freezing cold in the mountains of Germany, and we're preparing to go to the desert. And so we kept laughing about the absurdity of it all, how they had to truck in sand for sandbags when, of course, there would be an abundance where we were going. And so we said, we've got to write something about this because there's just so much contrast here. It's rich with this. And we eventually got off the idea of writing something that was more ironic or cynical, and it was intended to be humorous. But we decided that we were still going to write something about our story because we thought we had something to tell. We were new to this, and we wanted to tell other young lieutenants, 24, 25-year-old lieutenants who were leaving the academy or university's ROTC programs, kind of what they could expect when they went to this country, because we figured it'd be going on for a while.
And once you got there, you continued?
Yeah, we got there. We decided we would keep journals because our schedules were different, and you kind of just, we lived separate lives very much in a lot of respects. I kept a journal every day, tried to write 2 or 3 pages a day, and he would write a 7 or 8 page email to his father, who was a colonel advising the general staff in Baghdad the same time he was there. So every week he would write a 6 to 7, 7 to 8 page email to his father, and we collected all of that. We brought it back and sent it through some editors who advised us on how to arrange it and follow through with it.
What's the most important message you're trying to send with this book?
One of the things we really get to in that is we had absolutely no idea what we were doing when we went there. We had 6 months of training, and again, it was in freezing winter temperatures in Germany to go to hot Iraq and try to learn a new job. And one of the things we keep hitting on in there is that these American soldiers, our guys, not us in particular, but our soldiers, were able to adapt. Just absolutely incredibly to the situation, to learn a new job, to learn a new mission, to learn a new focus, and to go there to watch out for each other and keep in mind at the same time that this was half sort of a peacekeeping operation as well. They still had to win hearts and minds. They couldn't just be aggressive. They had to be able to flip the switch between combat and sort of sustainment operations.
Now you're back in civilian life and you look at what's going on, especially with the presidential transition. What kind of condition do you really feel Iraq is in that you could share with us beyond what we just see on the news?
Well, friends of mine, people that are mentioned in the book who have stayed in the Army and have gone back and recently returned I've been talking to them and writing to them, and one of them said, I can honestly say this time that I left Iraq when we were winning. And he was referring to the neighborhood advisory boards and the Sons of Iraq and the all of the different parts of General Petraeus' amazing plan to bring this all together. I think that there's daily progress from the bottom up. And I think the people deciding that they want stability and peace within the country is going to encourage the government to get over some of the criticisms of corruption and partisanship and things like that.
What kind of time frame do you think the president-elect has to look at in terms of drawing down the troops there and perhaps sending them to bolster the forces in Afghanistan?
Well, I think looking at it in terms of time frame is looking at this as a very finite problem. I'm of the school that believes that this is the first part of an ongoing situation in that region, and whether it's, and I'm not talking about marching on to somewhere else, but a presence of some sort. Definitely we need to bolster troops in Afghanistan, and General McMaster's, Colonel Promotable General McMaster's is preparing a proposal for General Petraeus on how to best do that right now. Those minds are far more brilliant than mine, and they'll determine how to do that. But I think that it'll all be about stability in the region. It'll all be about not giving up and letting one of the neighbors completely claim victory at the end of the day.
And do you think that's possible, say, within the next 5 years?
Wow. In the next 5 years, yeah. You know, I think that there are pressures that can be applied, diplomatic, financial, and military pressures that can be applied, levers that can be pulled to force the Iraqi government to stand up. We've already seen that quite a bit. Prime Minister Maliki stepping forward and talking about supporting President Bush's withdrawal, his horizons, he called them. It was a huge step. Whether or not you agree with him, it was a great act of leadership and autonomy for a prime minister of a country to do. So I think that 5 years might be possible. Certainly, that'll be the push with the four-year cycles we're on. So.
Well, the book is fascinating. It's certainly a great holiday gift if somebody wants to go out and get it. Available in all bookstores?
All bookstores and on Amazon.
And on Amazon.com. The book is Gods of Diyala, Transfer of Command in Iraq, the author Caleb Cage and Gregory M. Tomlin. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Across the globe, they are their nation's best. On January 4th, the world comes to compete on one stage. From the producers of So You Think You Can Dance and American Idol comes television's first global dance competition. Superstars of Dance, the world premiere Sunday, January 4th on NBC.
Nothing makes a craft project shine like clean, straight cuts or fancy decorative borders. But trying to cut a straight line with scissors is almost impossible. And trimmers can cut straight, but it's impossible to see the line you're cutting. Well, now there's the Craftlight Cutter, the world's first trimmer with a built-in backlight. Look, it lights the paper from underneath to show you the exact line you're cutting before you make the cut. Cut dazzling zigzags with absolute perfection. Or put a wave edge on your project with interchangeable cutting heads that snap in and out in seconds. Call now and get the mistake-proof Craft Light Cutter plus the straight edge blade, the wave edge, and the zigzag, all for only $19.99. But call right now and we'll also include three more decorative blades, a $15 value, yours free. Yes, you get it all for only $19.99.
To order, call 1-800-764-9870. Remember, order today and get the Craft Light Cutter and a total of six blades for only $19.99. So call 1-800-764-9870.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great power pundit. As always, Trey Abney is here, Director of Government Relations for the Reno-Sparks Chamber of Commerce, and Fred Lockham, Professor of Political Science at TMCC. Mike Hillabilly will join us next week. And interesting, in the past when Senator Reid has been against something like Fish Springs Valley Water Importation Project years ago, back in the early 90s, it ended up where Bruce Babbitt, who at the time was the Secretary of Interior, did an environmental impact study that essentially shut down any chance of that project moving forward until many, many years later, and it's only recently actually started fruition. BLM okays right of way for Ely Coal Plant. I was kind of surprised at that.
Well, I was too, but I think it's the politics that are involved here. I mean, we need short-term solutions. We really do. And I think the news is that the grid desperately needs power. And so Senator Reid, a huge supporter of alternative energies, but also a realist at the end of the day, and I think it's just one of those plants that has to come online.
Okay, so do you think that those coal-fired plants are actually going to end up coming online?
I would tend to doubt it. I remember this is this BLM under this administration that approved it. Here in a couple of days, there'll be a brand new administration that can do all kinds of things. I think White Pine County desperately needs projects like this, but politically it's going to be very difficult. I think it could be a short-term solution as we move to longer-term renewable power.
Well, and that it seems to be the new mantra from the governor to Senator Reid, I mean, across the board, real clean energy, real renewables. The Silver State really could be a major leader in this field.
Oh, hugely so. And again, realize just how serious. I mean, we're facing brownouts in this country. One of the problems is the age of the grid. It needs to desperately be rehabilitated like the rest of our infrastructure. But the other reality are the sheer number of plants that have been shut down. It's the history of this country. I mean, you know, we haven't built refineries in 15 or 20 years. We haven't really kept up with the pace of energy demands. And as a result, I think that, you know, reality check is that we do need some of these plants short term. But alternative energy can be the economic future of this country. And I'm really hoping that Nevada shows real leadership in it.
Well, one of the other things that we need to see leadership in is not having a NIMBY kind of philosophy where we don't want to see these wind towers going up. And, you know, how much of a public relations sell do we have to do to get the public to be on board?
Well, there's always that. You know, people move here and like living here because of the scenery, and there are some people that don't want windmills on top of the mountains that they look out on every day. But the problem is whether you're connecting, you know, we're getting closer to where we're connecting both north and south by power lines. Those power lines are going to have to go somewhere. And once we connect north and south, we can then move out into the rural communities and move some of this renewables into the urban areas where it's needed. But you're always going to have that no matter if you put a refinery, a nuclear power plant, or a windmill. There's always going to be issues.
Okay, so talking about issues, Yucca Mountain, Sue Loudon puts out a press release, time to call Congress's bluff on Yucca Mountain. You know, there is quite a movement now on the conservative side in this state to go up against Yucca Mountain and say, hey, maybe we need to rethink this. I mean, can we reverse this many years of political thought against Yucca Mountain?
Well, we've spent so much political capital trying to block it that it seems like an interesting reversal to suddenly be saying, hey, well, maybe we could make some money during hard economic times by allowing this to happen. It was always a good prospect of great paying jobs. The other reality, of course, is that we still need some place for storage. And, you know, under the circumstances, we have two-thirds of Nevadans now, I think about 65-67%, that are suggesting that they're okay with Yucca Mountain.
Well, now the other side is that in an ill-fated incident during the campaign, the Obama campaign lifted a clip from this program with John McCain saying that he wouldn't want to have nuclear waste going through Phoenix and hammered him. Can they afford to take that shot here?
I don't know. And then now you have California getting involved just recently. I read this morning in the past couple days that they're lodging complaints about water in Death Valley and whether the project would take away from that. And, of course, California is kind of the 800-pound gorilla in the room when it comes to these type of things. But it's always painted as we have to be either against Yucca Mountain or for it, and let's, you know, start shipping it in there tomorrow. You know, is there some kind of middle way where we're not spending taxpayer dollars just constantly opposing it and just studying it and looking at it and trying to help DOE either put it there or come up with an alternate solution? I just think we're always on either end, and there can be a middle ground. You know, I was in a meeting a couple of weeks ago with a bunch of business folks here in Northern Nevada, here in Reno, and the question was asked between maintaining our opposition or starting to work with the federal government. Everybody in that room but like one person raised their hand to say, yeah, let's start looking at it in a new way. So now down south, I'm sure that would be a different
Can you, Senator Reid, in a re-election campaign that's going to be probably the most important one of his entire career, and with the strongest opposition, flip-flopping on that? I mean, wouldn't that just be a disaster?
Well, it would be, and I think he's the linchpin of whether he himself is personally convinced that it can go there or not. I mean, there's good science against Yucca Mountain. For the conservatives and others who I saw the economic opportunity or the need for a depository, there are fault lines, there are serious issues about Yucca, and the transportation or movement of all of this waste across this country. The federal report, as acceptable risk, had major events happening over the period of shipments. We really do need to rethink the whole issue of the nuclear industry going forward. I think we need to look at the French solution, where we, in fact, keep the materials on site, breed it, create new energy for further production. That was the best strategy. Jimmy Carter in 1979 abandoned that.
And you know, and it's stunning. 1979, it was abandoned, and yet Europe has been merrily going along, running a good portion of their power generated by nuclear power, and yet our nuclear industry has not done it, has not taken the initiative themselves, but just kept helping out for Yucca.
It is, and you know, the stuff is stored on site right now, but they've been paying into this fund that they've been promised that this stuff's going to be moved off-site into Yucca Mountain.
And they actually have twice as much waste as would fit in Yucca Mountain as it's presently configured.
Yeah, that's right. There's,
well, and of course, the other kicker is that we've promised to take it from the rest of the world. You know, this was the global depository, and I don't know why we ever said yes to that. It's a typical mismanaged public policy, and part of the problem is there's not been a policy. So I think ultimately we need to make a decision and move forward, but we made some bad decisions along the way.
I don't think anything's going to happen until 2011. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Ready for the best deals in town? Come on down to Auto Pros today. Owe too much on your car? We can help. Late on your credit card payments? We can help. Late on your mortgage? We can help. No money down. 0% financing available on selected inventory. Certain restrictions may apply. Customer does not qualify for other incentives with 0% financing. So come on down to Auto Pros today and take advantage of the best deals of 2008.
If you're over 65, have diabetes, and are on Medicare, you may qualify for a free meter and cookbook offer from Liberty Medical.
You know, there are still some people who don't know that the cost of their diabetes testing supplies may be covered by Medicare. Well, if you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, your testing supplies may be covered. Here's how it works. Liberty is a Medicare participating provider. They bill Medicare and your insurance company. You pay nothing up front. Your testing supplies are delivered right to your door and no charge for shipping. You have nothing to worry about because when it's time to reorder, Liberty will remind you.
Call now to see if you qualify for your free meter.
Call Liberty Medical. They can help you live a better life.
Call today for your free meter. Plus, get a free diabetic cookbook when you join Liberty.
Call 1-800-225-0618.
Across the globe, they are their nation's best. On January 4th, the world comes to compete on one stage. From the producers of So You Think You Can Dance and American Idol comes television's first global dance competition. Superstars of Dance, the world premiere Sunday, January 4th on NBC.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Next week, gaming expert Mike.